number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. We're live here in Key West at the Marker Key West. A little windy, but definitely not bad. We say hello now to John McClain, who is down in Houston, who, what a game yesterday, and what a win for the Houston Texans. John, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're fantastic. So 36-29, Houston gets the win. But if you were watching before the fourth quarter, I think it would have told a different story. How crazy of a comeback was that for you to witness between Houston and Jacksonville yesterday?
It was the second biggest comeback in Jackson's history, and it was the first one that was as important, because had they lost that, they would have been totally out of the playoff picture. As it is, they're 4-5, they've won 3 out of 4, played the Titans, then they host Buffalo here on a Thursday night, a team they beat here last year in prime time. But Davis Mills started in place of C.J. Stroud. He might start again against the Titans. And they had 3 new starting offensive linemen because of injuries. And think about how this is going to work. Davis Mills' first series, interception, field goal, down 3-0. Kickoff returner fumbles, 19-yard touchdown drive, 10-0. Point return for a touchdown, 17-0. Field goal, 20-0. And they're down 29-10 with 13 minutes left. Running offensive linemen on and off the field. It was amazing. And then they get to the fourth quarter, and you guys have seen this before, in which a coach has to play up-tempo. And all of a sudden, Davis Mills looked like a Pro Bowl quarterback. I asked Steve McNair in his third season, his first year in Tennessee, I said, why is it that you play your best at the end of the first half and at the end of the game when you guys are desperate to score? He said, because they don't bog me down with things I got to think about. They keep it simple. They rely on me to make plays, and that's what I'm best at. And there have been very few coaches in history who would allow an offense to do that, play up-tempo all the time, because they think it's not good coaching. So Texans had no choice. Davis Mills threw 2 touchdown passes, and he is a slow runner. Runs a little bit like me, but he ran 14 yards for the winning touchdown. And we thought, sure. Texans had never scored from the one or two yard line, and they scored from the one, and then they get down there on the 3 first down. They have a penalty. Another penalty, a 2-yard loss. So we thought it was over, and then Mills runs for the touchdown, and they pull it out. But the Jags got the ball back, had another chance, and Daniil Hunter had 3.5 sacks. Will Anderson Jr. got the last one, fumbled right into the arms of defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, and he runs about like I do, but he still scored to make it 36. So it was a wild and crazy game that people here still can't believe.
Was there any heat on D'Amico and his job, or was that just, you know, from the fan base, but really nothing else behind that? Or did yesterday kind of help that maybe with ownership?
No. Anybody thought D'Amico Ryan's job was in jeopardy? How stupid can you be? He wins 10 games, a division title his first 2 years, wins a playoff game his first 2 years. Last year, lost in the divisional round in Kansas City by 9 points when they were down 3 in the fourth. And all of a sudden, he has a calendar year, and people want him fired. That is, I always say, geranium brains. There was a segment of fans, nobody in the media, and no way the McNair family would get rid of D'Amico Ryans, no matter how what the record is this year. They could not win another game, and he wouldn't get fired. This is not Woody Johnson or John Mara.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase Big Joe Show. John, we got to talk about our good friend Mike Vrabel. When Mike Singletary left the 49ers as head coach, he told a friend one of the reasons he left, he was frustrated because he couldn't get guys to play football the way he played football. Understandable. So with that being said, John, why has Mike Vrabel already been so successful with the New England Patriots?
Well, first of all, Mike is a damn good coach. I think most people there, even the ones that wanted him fired when he got fired, would now think, okay, he's a damn good coach. He's shown a lot more versatility with Drake May than he did in Nashville, where it was all run, run, run with Derrick Henry, as it should have been, playing to the strengths. But nobody thought the Patriots were going to do in Vrabel's first season what they have done. I was not sold till they went to Tampa to beat the Bucs yesterday. I started to buy in when they went to Buffalo and beat the Bills, but now I am all in on Vrabel. And you know what? He's going to have a lot of money to spend again in free agency. They got extra draft choices, and that's why it was the perfect situation for him. He had other opportunities. People wondered, well, why didn't he get hired his first year out? Well, it didn't mean teams weren't interested in him, but Mike was getting paid, so why should he have rushed out to take a job instead of waiting around? And he got lucky that that job was open. And they are, and one of the reasons he wanted it was because Drake May is so highly thought of. But what they're doing like right now, I think they're going to end up, if you look at their schedule, they're going to end up and they're going to have the best record in the AFC and get home field advantage. And then we'll see what he can do with it. But he's obviously right now coach of the year.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, John. Like, in life, some people aren't made out to be things. Like, some people are made to be good radio producers and not on the radio and things like that. Some people are good to be good play callers, not head coaches. Josh McDaniels has proven himself as a pretty bad head coach, but a great play caller. And you need to realize, like, that is where he needs to stay, right? Because he's doing a hell of a job with Drake May.
It's smart of Vrabel to hire him, but it's smart of McDaniels to take the job because he's failed twice as a head coach, hadn't even gotten a second contract offer from the team he was coaching. And there's been a lot of coordinators who were great, and they got head coaching opportunities, and they just couldn't do it with the same success or any success, really. And I think that it was the perfect marriage. McDaniels wanted to come back. He had done a great job for Belichick, and he's done a great job for Vrabel. Remember when Mac Jones was a rookie? He won 10 games, and McDaniels was his coach. Then McDaniels got another coaching job, and Mac Jones went down to Tormund. And now he's playing really well for Kyle Shanahan. So I think you got a great combination there. And you were talking about coaches that win compared to Mike Singletary. You can't expect players to be as great as you are, but what you can expect them to do is effort, be on time, be good in culture. Everybody's going to play differently. And that's why Mike Singletary didn't go on to be a better head coach. He wanted people, he expected, demanded players to have the same devotion and success that he had as a two-time NFL defensive year and a first ballot Hall of Famer. And that's just not the way it works. Jimmy Johnson always said, Parcells did too. You know, Parcells had one set of rules for Lawrence Taylor and one for everybody else. And he said you cannot expect everybody to be the same and you can't coach them that way. And Jimmy Johnson was the same. And I remember when Jimmy Johnson had the linebacker fell asleep in a meeting and he cut him the next day. Somebody in the media said, what would you have done if that was Emmitt? He said I would have lowered the lights, got him a blanket, and told everybody to be quiet.
That is a fantastic story. John McClain is with us. We'll have more with him coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at the Marker in Key West today. Continuing with John McClain down there in Houston. A little Jimmy Buffett bringing us back, which is always fantastic, especially when you're here in Key West. And John, what's up with the Dolphins? I mean, this is the most Jekyll and Hyde team I think I've seen. I still think, you know, they're going to end up making a coaching change at the end of the year. But, I mean, they didn't beat Buffalo. They absolutely beat Buffalo yesterday.
I thought it was very interesting watching the team's video they put afterward, the way the players celebrated. And then they went over and started to pick up Mike McDaniel. And when players do that, you know they have some love for him. And when Tua Tagovailoa can refrain from throwing interceptions, you know, they're good. Devin Achane is the best breakaway back in the NFL. He's a touchdown machine. He had a great game. And then Jaylen Waddle can still catch. So I guess there was no pressure on them. Maybe the Bills were caught looking ahead. But this is not the same Buffalo team. Yes, they just beat the Chiefs, but they've been beaten by the Panthers and now the Dolphins. They come in here Thursday of next week for the Thursday night game, and I'll know more about them. But now, my two Super Bowl picks, Buffalo and Detroit, I'm not feeling very good about either one of them.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, Detroit is an interesting one, though. You look at what Campbell did. He takes over play calling, and all of a sudden they put up 44 points. So do you think that might have been what was missing?
That was one game, and they lost at home, and it was embarrassing to Minnesota and J.J. McCarthy. I didn't even know Campbell golf plays in the past, but he did a great job. Of course, they're loaded with talent up there. So I'll just let Jared Goff call plays because he's one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league, but they sure did look good. The team that I'm watching now as a potential Super Bowl team, and we've got a game of the year coming up, and that's the Rams. Matthew Stafford has thrown four touchdown passes without an interception in three consecutive games. That's the first time an NFL quarterback has ever done that. And Seattle's offense has been awesome since they hired Clint Kubiak, Gary's oldest son, to be the play caller. And he and Sam Darnold are tearing it up, and they got balance. So I'm fired up about those guys.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chasing Big Joe Show. John, Brian Daboll gets fired from the Giants, and we ask our listeners today, what if you were a head coach, what's a better job, Titans or the Giants, John? And overwhelmingly, our listeners said they'd take the Giants job, and we asked why, and they said because they don't want to work with Amy Adams Strunk. If our great listeners have that same perfection, what's the perception around the National Football League about this when people don't want to come here because of Amy Adams Strunk?
Well, first of all, nobody gives a rat's you know what fans think. If you pay attention to fans, you're going to be sitting in the stands with them. That's
right.
The last people you can listen to. I'll guarantee you the Giants fans, if you ask them today, would you rather work for John Mara, who let Saquon Barkley go and listed all the way they failed since Bill Parcells and Tom Coughlin were the head coaches, they'd say, well, who wouldn't rather go work for the Titans and live in Nashville and have all that money to spend on free agents? No, Amy Adams Strunk is not viewed as viciously, negatively around the league as she is there.
With that being said, I mean, Daboll, we talked earlier, John, I mean, he's a great offensive coordinator, and maybe that's where he goes back to his roots, because obviously the head coach is not where it is, but that's okay. I mean, if you're a good offensive coordinator, you can make a nice living, right? There's an OC.
You make millions of dollars. Daboll, everybody loved it when they won the division, and Daniel Jones beat Minnesota in the playoffs, and he was a hot head coach. And then all of a sudden, somehow he got stupid when he lost his best receiver, his rookie running back that was taking the league by storm, and promoted a rookie quarterback. I thought they were stupid to fire him now. But Mike Kafka, who is the one that has coached Jackson Dart the most, and at one point when he was with the Eagles, he was highly thought of as a head coaching candidate. Well, now he's going to have a few games with his rookie quarterback to see if they can make progress. But I don't know if they'll end up promoting him to the job full-time. I'm guessing they'll make a run at Lane Kiffin, because I think everybody in the country is making a run at Lane
right.
Kiffin. And I'm guessing,
right.
as somebody pointed out, if Kiffin ever has any aspirations to return to the NFL, and his first job was with the Raiders, he was not ready for it. But if he ever has any, this would be the time to do it. He should go to the Giants. They'll pay him a lot of money. And then when he gets fired, he can have his pick of college jobs. Where if he stays at Ole Miss, where he's taking them about as far as he's ever going to take them, he better just be prepared to stay in college. But I have no idea if he wants to scratch that NFL itch.
Oh, exactly with that. John McClain with us. John, the Houston Texans come to Nashville this weekend to take on the Titans. What's the perception now with Texans fans against the Titans? Is it still one where no matter what, they would love, if they win two games a year, as long as they beat the Titans, that's good? Is there still that sort of animosity from Texans fans to Titans, or do they just not care?
They don't care about the Titans. The Titans don't care about them. The only ones that care about it are Amy Adams Strunk and Hannah McMahon. And it's all about the uniforms and nicknames and all that. You know, the Titans wore the Oilers uniforms the last 2 years and got beat by the Texans. So now they're not wearing them. But it's so funny. What should have been an intense rivalry from the beginning has never materialized because they haven't played big games. The Rangers and the Astros have played for the World Series. They played for the playoffs. We've never had that. The only time both teams were good just for a couple of years is when Jeff Fisher and Gary Kubiak were the head coach, but it didn't last long enough to develop into the kind of rivalry it should have developed into.
John McClain is with us down in Houston. How much of a believer are you in what is happening in Chicago with the Bears? They win yesterday and continue to just kind of impress people.
They do. Caleb Williams is playing better. Ben Johnson is good. But who'd they beat? You know, they had that great
– It was the Giants.
The Bengals. You know, let's see what they can do when they start playing the tough games. But there's no doubt – people were blasting the GM, Ryan Poles. He did a tremendous job of putting talent around Caleb Williams. And that's what the Titans need to do. They need to do a tremendous job of putting talent around Cam Ward. And the Texans did not do that with their offensive line. This year was C.J. Stroud. And this, so they still have problems up front. But I think that they should follow the Bears lead. And once you get the offensive talent taken care of around your quarterback, then you work on your defense.
What are you expecting we see tonight with the Monday night game? Philadelphia, the defending Super Bowl champions, and Green Bay. I think this will be a pretty big matchup between two NFC teams.
Yeah, I still can't believe that Green Bay lost the last game at home to Carolina. So I just don't see the Packers losing back-to-back games at Lambeau, so I'm going with the Packers. I don't think this Eagles team is as good as last year. Doesn't mean they won't win another Super Bowl, but, boy, if Philadelphia goes in there and punks them, and that's two in a row, all of a sudden nobody's going to be talking about the Packers in the Super Bowl.
That is true. John, thanks so much as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, as always.
Thank you, sir. John McClain joining us from down in Houston.
As well, our coverage at Key West at the Harbor Marker Key West Resort, brought to you by our good friends at Reunion Township at 109 and City Limits Apartments. Check them out online at reuniontownship.com and liveatcitylimits.com. Again, the weather in Nashville, Reunion Township, it's private attached garages. That's right, luxury resort living that you deserve. Imagine not having to worry about your car and being cold in the morning with private attached garages. You get those at Reunion Township at 109. Beautiful property. Check them out online. Also, our friends at the Roxy 8 Theater in Dixon, making the movie experience great again. Belinda and Roxy in Lebanon, in Dixon, we love you. Thank you for everything. And our good friends with the Nashville Cats, check them out online at NashvilleCats.com. Great swag and merchandise for this Christmas season to be part of the Nashville Cats family. Chase McCabe, claws out, baby.
Claws out. We'll have more coming from Key West. Here on 102.5 The Game. Go 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. We're at the Marker Key West having a great time. Day one, and we're going to be here for a couple of days, Big Joe, and this has been great so far.
It has. Bringing now Anthony Van Daly. He's the Marketing Events Director here at the Marker Key West Harbor Resort and Southernmost Beach Resort. Anthony, we met you today. I love you and I hate you because you have the best job in America.
One of them for sure.
I mean, tell me about the Marker Key West here, Harbor Resort, and thank you for the hospitality. It's beautiful. We're like a block and a half, two blocks from Duval Street, yep, by the pier. I mean, this is perfect, right?
Absolutely. It's a great location. We are, like you said, just a couple blocks away from Duval Street, all the action. If you want to get in trouble, you can go to that side. If you don't, you go to the other side. And, yeah, there's so much to do here, and we're just glad to have you guys here.
That explains why we get in trouble.
Yeah.
Where were you last year? We needed you last year. Thank you for the exclusive code for our Chasing Big Joe listeners. 20% off your best available rate. So thank you. Just go to themarkerkeywest.com for more. What's it like living here full-time? I know we got some cold weather, air quotes, moving in. It means nothing to our friends back in Nashville. But what's it like being down here?
Oh, man, it's a great spot to live. There's always something going on. There's Fantasy Fest. There's Key Lime Fest, Hemingway Fest, you name it, Lobster Fest. Every month there's at least one festival, and we just know how to party. We're going to do it right.
And you created your own fest, right? Reggae Fest?
So we did, yeah. We called it Shoreline Sessions. We did that last weekend. So we did that in between the weekend of Fantasy Fest and Powerboats. So we're just trying to just fill in all the gaps. There's always something going on here, like I said. So we're just trying to create our own thing and get more people down here and enjoy it.
So how were the powerboat races this weekend?
They were phenomenal. We got them off without just before all the weather came in, as you know, today. So had this come in yesterday, they would have had to move up the race to Saturday. So they do the races Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday with those days in between just in case the weather, so they can move things around if they had to. But the powerboat races were great. We had a great crowd here. We had a party on Saturday for Good Boy Vodka, and it was awesome.
Sounds good. Now, as we were talking with you, you know, we're the flagship of the Nashville Predators, so they'll be playing tonight at the Garden against the New York Rangers before they head to Sweden for two games against Pittsburgh. But you are a Florida Panthers fan.
You
actually worked for them at one point in time.
Yes, sir. 100% Florida Panthers fan. It's my number one sport. I like it more than any other sport. Obsessed, my wife would say, and my puppy would say as well, because I make him put the jersey on in every game, and we watch every game, and the two-time or back-to-back champions right now, so
right,
very proud, and finally, after 30 years, we finally won two in a row, hopefully for three, for three.
I think you got a good chance.
It's been a little rough so far this year. We have our captain Barkov out, and Tkachuk is out for an extended period of time as well.
Yeah.
But once they get back, as long as they make it to the playoffs, we're going to win the whole thing. That's my prediction.
You like Nashville? I mean, a non-traditional hockey market. When you work for the Panthers, non-traditional, and the recipe is winning, right?
For sure. If you're not winning, nobody even knows who you are. It's crazy. You know, in South Florida, the only ice that people knew back then were the ones floating in your margarita, right? And then, you know, we had to educate the whole market on ice and ice hockey and what is this. When I first started in 1996 with the team, there were, I think, two ice rinks in South Florida. And now there's high school hockey. There are rinks popping up all over the place. So it's absolutely amazing.
Very cool. Anthony Van Daly is a marketing events director at the Harbor Marker. The Marker Harbor.
Wait. Key West, the marker Key West Harbor Resort.
Thank you. And Southernmost Beach Resort. Correct. I've only said it 1,000 times today doing that. The marketing events director. What marketing events is a broad brush, but in Key West, you've got to be pretty specific. I mean, you've got to have events that get people excited, right?
No, that's the Atlantic.
Right. So, it kind of is, but it kind of isn't, just because if you build it, they will come. Because people are always coming here to Key West. There's so much to do. And we just like to keep them on property and enjoying themselves, you know what I mean? Whether it's this property, the other property, or anywhere in Key West.
Explain Old Town to us here in Key West, because we're like two blocks from Duval. We all know Duval. And Old Town's very special and unique, right?
It is. Lots of history here. We have the Lighthouse. We have the Hemingway House. Lots of old bars, Sloppy Joe's, which is Hemingway's favorite bar, Captain Tony's, which was the original Sloppy Joe's, and there's just so much to do down here. And it's just a small island. I mean, the whole island is only 2 miles by 4 miles, where Old Town is probably 1 mile by 2 miles.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so much to do, and this resort here is actually right here in Old Town, and we're only two blocks from Duval Street, which is where all the action is.
So it's perfect. So you get a lot of people come down from the Middle Tennessee, Nashville area, and this is the perfect place to stay. 96 rooms, 3 pools.
Yep.
I mean, this is put it this way. Wednesday, you might not be able to kick us out.
That's right. Exactly.
Right? We're going to stay here.
You may be staying a lot longer, for sure. I don't blame you. I wouldn't blame you.
What's the best part about your job?
I would just say the people that I get to meet. Guys like you. Come on.
That's right. See? Yeah, it's special, right? I mean, yeah, you can quit after this, Anthony.
That's right.
This
tops the cake right here.
It does. Thank you for all this.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I appreciate everything. It's beautiful. We're really honored to be here. And, by the way, you met our great producer, Dr. Crane.
Oh, my God, he's amazing.
Right, who cooked pizzas today.
He made pizzas today, and I had 2-3 slices of it, and it was amazing. Great job.
Yes, I mean, how many remote radio stations bring their producer to cook pizzas back then?
Right? That was a pleasant surprise for us all. Pleasant surprise. Thanks, Nico.
He got put to work,
that's
too,
right.
So that was good.
Yeah.
Anthony, thanks so much for jumping
thanks
on.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
Thank you.
It's the Marker Key West Harbor Resort. Just go to themarkerkeywest.com for information. And also the Southernmost Beach Resort. People know that one as well. That's on the other side of the island. Beautiful and perfect. Really appreciate our stay here. And, of course, our sponsors, Reunion Township at 109 City Limits Apartments, the Nashville Cats, and Roxy 8 Theater in Dixon. Belinda, we love you. Thank you for the sponsorship and the partnership and everything. Really grateful. They're part of the 102.5 The Game family. Chase McCabe.
Yes, we are, and really excited. You know, we're going to be over at Comedy Key West tonight doing our thing, but the Monday Night Football game is intriguing, too. I have a feeling we'll be keeping an eye on that between the Packers and the Eagles.
See, I'm getting – sorry, Robbie Stanley. I'm getting Packers fatigue. They're on, like, the Chiefs all the time.
No.
They're on Sunday Night Football
they're a good
twice.
Team.
They're on Monday Night Football.
The Eagles are on quite a bit.
But you know what? The Packers got beat by the Panthers last week. At home.
Well, the Titans got beat by everybody.
Titans are terrible.
Except for Arizona.
The Titans don't claim to be good. The Packers do and all that.
If I'm the owner, who's it, Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals?
Yes.
I walk into Jonathan Gannon and I go, you lost to the Titans and you were the only one this year. You're out.
Not just the way they lost, but I am telling you, we've seen a lot of football throughout the years. That might be the most the game before this most bizarre to me was Clint Sterner's fumble in 1998 in Knoxville.
Yeah.
When he fumbled because the Vols were done.
Yep.
They were absolutely done. Tennessee fans at the game, you know that. And then he fumbles, and then you win the game, and your season turns around. And then this is the same way, I mean, with the Cardinals. I mean, that's the most bizarre loss I've ever seen in a football game, and the Titans were the beneficiary of that. Had they not won that game, solid 0-9. Solid 0-9.
No question. No question. Then also tonight, the Predators will play their final game in the U.S. before they head to Sweden. They will actually leave for Sweden tonight from New York. They're at the Garden. Predators and the Rangers. Max Herz will have coverage beginning at 5 o'clock. And then Pete Weber, Hal Gill will be on the call in New York. And then the traveling party that's going to Sweden, they'll hit the road or the air.
Are they leaving after the game or are they tomorrow? Okay.
Yep. So they'll fly through the night and then get to Sweden. And then have 3 days off before they play Friday and Sunday. So be able to get acclimated to the time change.
When's the next game after Sunday?
They will – not play again until the 22nd when they play against the Colorado Avalanche here at Bridgestone Arena.
So they get a little time off.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the other day about the Predators. You were talking to Ryan O'Reilly. Who'd you talk to Wednesday? Ryan O'Reilly?
No, Brady Shea.
Brady Shea. About now with the Olympics, everything's condensed, right, in the schedule. I mean, more games back to back to back because of what the was going on with the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Am I right on that?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, because of the condensed. I mean, everybody's having to deal with it
okay.
right now. Our buddy Greg Wyshynski just sent me this that he has a piece. Predators Ryan O'Reilly regrets, quote, crybaby postgame rant.
But crybabies in quotations.
Yeah. He said, Greg said, just doing my journalistic duty, sir. He said, quote, I think it came off as, gosh, you sound like a crybaby, he told ESPN on Monday. O'Reilly said he should have just bit his tongue after the game. Obviously, you don't want things to get out there, and it doesn't look good on anyone on the team. I think I sound like a bit of a baby, where I should have just politely shut up and been better, and that's it. So that is that's an interesting one. So I guess Greg's probably there tonight.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when Robbie had that one other night. He was talking about it Thursday morning, I guess it was, or Friday morning, about that thing from O'Reilly. And he's like, basically, he's like, Preds fans know he's not the problem. Like, he's not the one guy. He's feeling the brunt of it. But
yeah.
The problem of the Nashville Predator is not Ryan O'Reilly.
No. I mean, he's the one trying to take the blame, and that's the kind of leader he is. But, no, it's not. It's just – I don't know.
Just
I don't know.
It's, you can say it.
Well, it's a lot of things. The roster's not cohesive enough.
Right.
Not good. I'm not putting it all on the coach, but the coach obviously takes the blame too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of it. The GM takes a part of it. I mean, it's all of them, and they know that. I'm not saying anything they don't know. So we'll see. I'd be very curious with there being some days off, like how this week goes, and then what might transpire.
Can you imagine? Not saying anybody's going to get fired, but can you imagine going over there and getting traded?
Yeah.
Like you're on Wednesday. Hey, by the way, you got traded to the Kings. Good luck. Take you 5 days to get back over there and do that.
By Yak.
I mean, look, we talk about that. You can't win the Stanley Cup in October and November, but
you can lose it.
Sure as hell put yourself in a position not to win it come March and April. And so, bottom line, I mean, like Anthony was talking about with the Panthers, you just got to win games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not rocket science. Got to win games. Beat the Rangers tonight, go over there and win a couple of games versus the Penguins and come back. I mean, that's that simple. Figure it out and win games.
Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays live from the marker in Key West. It's Chasing Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday at the marker Key West. So we're wrapping things up. I'm about to pick a chair up and hit Joe over the head with it for not answering a question right. But, you know. Then throw him in the pool.
Can you imagine we got a big brawl down there?
the singer over there probably come.
By the way, the singer here at the marker Key West looks exactly like our promotions director, Cliff McCardle.
Oh, nice.
He looks exactly like. So, Cliff, if you're moonlighting, that's cool, man. Just let us know.
Well, you know, Cliff's a twin, so.
Is he really?
He is. Cliff, damn you, your brother's down here.
It could be. It could be, for sure. With that, Dr. Crane has joined us here. Let's hit it with what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All righty. First on the list, we have area code day. So we're in the what? Not 501. 301?
305, baby.
305.
Come on, man. Pitbull.
Dyslexic, sorry.
Wait, so Key West is even the 305?
They got another one like 8885 or something crazy, but 305 is the one.
Interesting.
There's that ludicrous song, Area Codes, which is a great one.
Yeah. Next one we have is International Accounting Day. So shout out to the numbers people, because I'm not. National Civic Pride Day is today. National Forget Me Not Day. I don't know about
that. It's
a song.
Forget Me Not.
Hey, National Vanilla Cupcake Day.
How about that, huh?
Yeah.
How about that?
How about that cupcake?
Next on the list is Sesame Street Day, Cookie Monster.
Who's your favorite one?
Dun, dun,
Cookie
dun,
Monster.
Dun, 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 dun,
the older I get, the Grouch has become my favorite.
Oh,
yeah.
The Grouch is awesome.
Because he's just an old grumpy bastard who don't care about anything, right? I mean, that's what we turn into. We love the Grouch.
Wait, Greg Pogue's on Sesame Street?
Nice. Oh, man. World Orphans Day is today.
Orphans Day?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. World Science Day for Peace and Development. And to wrap it up, hoorah! United States Marine Corps' birthday is today.
Heck yeah.
Semper Fi. And thank you to all the men and women of the Marine Corps that serve and all the military out there. Happy birthday to the Marines.
You talk about being a badass.
That's
a Marine. Man or woman. I mean, either one. My God. So God bless you.
No one left behind.
Exactly. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. All right, Chase, you go first. Putty from Seinfeld. Patrick Warburton. How old is Putty?
Also does the voice of Joe Swanson on Family Guy. I'm going to say he's 64.
Devils. Yeah.
That's a great episode.
67.
59.
Okay.
Which means he was around 30 when Seinfeld was
there. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Dr. Crane, you go Josh Duhamel is the birthday. He was married to Fergie.
Was he the one? He was on Vegas?
Was on Vegas.
And in the Transformer movie?
Yes, sir.
52.
That might be good. 50?
51. That's a push.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Chase, you get to go now. How old is actress, comedian from SNL, Vanessa Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R, not Bear, but Bayer.
Not Bayard, either.
47.
42. Chase on the board. Dr. Crane, you need to go now. How old is musician Stephen Bishop?
Stephen. It's a good one. 57.
65.
72. Chase, you get to go. How old is Yanni?
Oh, Yanni. 73.
77?
69.
Nice.
Dr. Crane, how old is Reverend Run of Run DMC?
58.
62.
59. We're tied at one. How old, Chase, you get to go, Jeanette Girardeau, lead singer of Exposé? Come go with me.
57.
55.
58. Chaser knows his Cougars. Dr. Crane.
There's a few down here.
Right. Dr. Crane, how old is drummer Travis Barker of Blink 182? He was the one that bad plane crash that survived.
Yep.
43. 44. 48.
Oh. Chase, you get to go now. How old is King Charles III? King Charles. Prince Charles. King Charles.
He's King Charles now.
Yep.
82.
84.
75. He's no Prince Albert. Dr. Crane, how old is Brian Bates' wife used to work for this lady, Condoleezza Rice. Dr. Crane, former Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice.
Condi.
Let's go 62.
That's a pretty good guess. I'll go a little higher. 67.
69. Chaser got up 3-1. All right, Chase, you go. Former Vanderbilt football coach Jerry DiNardo. How old is Jerry DiNardo?
74.
73.
73, exactly. It's now tied to 3. Good job. Dr. Crane, you get to go. Former St. Louis Cardinals slugger Jack Clark.
Jack Clark is 68.
69.
70. Chase gets it up 4-3. Chase, you go. Chase, you're one of your friends, Linda Cohn from ESPN.
Linda is 63.
61.
66. Dr. Crane, you get to go. Isaac Bruce from Memphis. Man, play for the Rams.
I'm going to go 54.
52.
53. That's a push.
Dang.
Chase, you get to go now. Former Nashville Predator Cale Hulse.
If you know, you know.
Right?
Pete, I hope you're listening. Cale Hulse, Crispy, I especially hope you're listening. Cale Hulse is 52.
57.
52, exactly. He's up 6-3. Dr. Crane, you get to go. Former Tennessee wide receiver Dante Stallworth.
I'm sorry, I'm blanking. I'm going to go 58.
50.
45. Last birthday, Chase, gets to go. John Rahm, golfer. John Rahm.
38.
John Rahm is 32.
31. But in the end, Chase wins 6-4. But Dr. Crane, you fought valiantly. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, this was a fun game. You know, you're in a different environment. You think you can win. Nah, not so fast, my kid.
By the way, the temperature in Key West has dropped about 12 degrees since we went on the
air
now.
Yeah, we're about to need to put a hoodie on.
I know, we're getting cold here.
It's all right.
Oh, poor you guys.
Sorry, David.
Our thanks to David James and Parker Kelly for helping us out back in the studio today, and Dr. Crane being here on site. I have bad news for you, Nashville. We'll be back here tomorrow as well. So we'll try not to rub it in too much. But that is going to do it for day number one from Key West.
As we always leave our show to our guys out there, look, if you are struggling, please reach out and talk to somebody. You can dial 988 on your cell phone immediately and get some help, or you can text it. We just need you to talk to somebody. We talk about your journey all the time, how beautiful it is and how wonderful you are, and we really mean it, that our world is a better place because you are here. You offer so much. If you need to talk, please reach out to the three of us. We're here to talk to you anytime. And we're so grateful for the men who've reached out. We love you. And know that more importantly, more than anything else in the world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming your way next here on 102.5 The Game.